Is this a great day or what? Congratulations, class of 2009. President Samuelson, honored guests, parents, family members, graduates, my dear brothers and sisters, Sister Ochsner and I extend our congratulations, commendation, and deep love to all of you whom we honor on this happy day. Even nature seems to be honoring you with the beauties of springtime as we mark the culmination of many years of hard work and study. Even a few clouds are there. It is a great privilege for us to be with you today, and we are pleased to be with Elder and Sister Nelson, who are wonderful friends and true servants of the Lord. I love this university, and President Samuelson, it is true that when passing over at Provo in my 747, I would point out to the passengers the world-famous Brigham Young University. Some captains might reserve such an announcement for sites like the Grand Canyon or the Eiffel Tower, but to me, Brigham Young University had always a special place in my heart. My wife and I did not have the privilege of attending BYU as students. However, our daughter received her bachelor's and master's degree here. She's with us tonight. And by the way, she graduated summa cum laude. I assume that there are enough proud parents, especially here in the back, I think, that can recognize easily one of their own. Let me share with you briefly why the memory of our daughter's BYU experience is so tender to us. Only a few months before receiving her degree, our daughter gave birth to twin boys who arrived 6 weeks early. Talk about student efficiency. When we observed how she and her husband found time to raise the two little babies while at the same time finishing their schooling, we were convinced that there's a special spirit at BYU. In this atmosphere, not only does knowledge grow and multiply, but so does the population. And I saw some today here, too. My wife and I came all the way from Germany to attend our daughter's commencement exercises. We sat way up there in the high bleachers with the two little babies and a double stroller watching the students receive their diplomas. Little did we know that 19 years later, we would be here once again, attending another commencement, this time with slightly better seats, representing the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. By the way, our handsome twin grandsons, who were born at Utah Valley Regional Medical Center, are now 6 feet tall and serving missions for the Lord in Asia. Isn't it wonderful how life brings change, challenges, and blessings into our lives? Today is a significant day of change for all of you. It is a day of closing and opening doors. It is a day of gratitude and rejoicing, a day of acknowledgement of our many debts to God, family, and friends. A day of radiant horizons and great expectations, and perhaps a day of a few fears as well. My wife Harriet and I are honored to share this moment with you. On a personal note, I'm both humbled and grateful to receive this honorary degree. I thank you all for this. It will link my family even closer to this wonderful institution. Happily, the honor I receive today comes without the necessity of taking final exams. Or even worse, facing a panel of skeptical professors bent on uncovering vacuums of academic ignorance. So for that, I am very grateful. Nevertheless, I assure you that my family will treasure this honor as we treasure the memories of this beautiful day. May I add, Harriet, who is with me here, is the love of my life, and she actually deserves the highest honor within any authority to grant for being my wife and the sunshine of my life for 46 years. She is the greatest. She is really the best. When I ask our children what I should talk about at a commencement service, they respond quickly. Keep it short and don't worry about the topic. Everyone will be thinking about other things anyway. That is excellent advice. However, there are three things I would like to leave with you. Three things that may help you as you embark upon this new era of your lives. First, use time wisely. Second, continue to learn. Third, seek the Spirit always. First, use time wisely. A wise man once distinguished between the noble art of getting things done and the nobler art of leaving things undone. True wisdom in life, he taught, consists of the elimination of non-essentials. May I suggest that you periodically evaluate how you are doing in this area? What are the non-essential things that clutter your days and steal your time? What are the habits you may have developed that do not serve a useful purpose? What are the unfinished or unstarted things that could add bigger meaning and joy to your life? Sometimes we make the mistake of neglecting the essentials of life. The Savior had harsh words for the scribes and Pharisees of his day. "Woe unto you," he told these people, "for you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done." Although the Savior's words were directed to a specific audience thousands of years ago, they apply to us as well today. In modern Revelation, the Lord has commanded, "Thou shalt not idle away thy time, neither shalt thou bury thy talent, that it may not be known." It is quite common to hear people and friends of us say, "Where has the time gone?" Or, "If I only had more time." In reality, time is perhaps the only commodity of life that is divided equally among every person in the world. Think about it. We all have 24 hours in a day. Though some people have more demands on their time than others, we all have an equal opportunity to use those 24 hours wisely. I learned how remarkably fair time is while performing long-range flights around the world. For example, we departed Frankfurt at 10 a.m. local time, and after an 11-hour flight in a 747, arrived in San Francisco at 12 noon, California time. That was apparently only 2 hours later. That was wonderful. We had gained 9 hours. Of course, you all know, on the next day on our way back to Frankfurt, we lost the 9 hours again. Someone has said time cannot be expanded, accumulated, mortgaged, or retarded. And it is ever renewing. Even though we may have wasted time yesterday, there is hope. There is a full day waiting for us today and tomorrow. However, if we continue to take our allotted time for granted, we may find ourselves like Elder Neil A. Maxwell put it, quote, Either we use time wisely or it uses us. Either we manage tasks effectively or we are pushed about and prodded by them. So how can we use our time wisely? In a world of so many things to do, how can we be sure that we're doing the best things? Elder Maxwell continued, since our impact must be selective, we must do some goal setting in terms of the outcomes we wish to achieve. Such goal setting needn't be a hustling experience, but rather a calm, periodic assessment and by reason assessing of what we cherish enough to choose to do with our allotted time. In qualifying for the degrees from this wonderful and grand institution today, you have shown the ability to determine what is most important. Set goals to achieve it, and then use your time to accomplish these goals. I urge you to continue to set and work toward temporal and spiritual goals. These may include goals to give of your talents, of your time, and of your means to the weightier matters in life. Such goals will guide your decisions about how best to use your time. Second, continue to learn. It has been said that a university is a place where those who hate ignorance may strive to know, and where those who perceive truth may strive to make others see. What an eloquent reminder of your BYU motto, enter to learn and go forth to serve. Isn't this also a description of life itself? Isn't this what the great plan of happiness, the plan of salvation is all about? Isn't this the purpose of our existence? My dear young friends, never stop learning, never stop learning, and never stop using what you learn to serve God and your fellow man. I encourage you to continue to pursue as much schooling as possible. In the competitive world of today, there is certainly a need to become an expert in your fields of knowledge. However, there is also a great need to broaden and extend your horizons of learning and of interest. Walk through life with open eyes and ears. The prophet Mormon as a child was described as one who was quick to observe. He was told to remember the things that he had learned by observing the things around him. Just think about it, that even in the very difficult times and challenging times of Kirtland, the Lord gave the saints a charge to educate themselves. I quote, "My grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in all things that are expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and in the earth and under the earth, things which have been, which are, which must shortly come to pass, which are at home, which are abroad, the wars and the complexities of the nations, that ye may be prepared in all things." Expand and broaden your knowledge. My young friends, this is also your charge and your mission for today and for the rest of your lives. In my life, I have learned that we can trust God and in His promises. My family's circumstances during and after World War II made it almost impossible to get any advanced formal schooling. Most of my schooling had to be done after a full day's work. Looking back, I can say the blessings of church membership, that is for sure, and the gospel, the unceasing desire to learn, and the willingness to work hard provided great opportunities even in most difficult times. You and I cannot know everything. There is, however, one who does know it all, who understands all, who created all and everything. He is the Father of our spirits, our Father in heaven. Because He is our Father, He has an intense interest in our education. He knows what we need to learn to fulfill our mission in life. Let us always be His students. Let us always open His textbooks. Let us sit at His feet and learn from Him. He knows every language and culture on this earth, and He will teach us in a way that we can understand. Let us always seek further light and knowledge from Him, the only real source of truth and light. Third, seek the Spirit always. In piloting an airplane, you learn quickly that your flight path depends greatly on how you handle challenging external influences, such as wind, weather, or other matters. Even more important, however, are the decisions you make in response to those external influences. Your decisions, my dear young friends, in fact, can counteract the external influences to ensure that you stay on course and reach your desired eternal divine destination. In order to make those decisions correctly, it helps to know what your actual position is. Therefore, it is of vital importance to have a true and valid reference point like the polar star in the northern hemisphere or a reliable electronic platform wherever you are. As you know, there are plenty of winds and storms in the world today that attempt to blow you off course. In order to continue the course you have begun here at Brigham Young University, you need a spiritual polar star in your life. You need a point of reference that has eternal consistency and reliability. I bear witness today and to you, individually and collectively, that you do have the most stable and dependable reference platform for your spiritual and physical position available to you. It will help you to know at all times and in all places whether or not you are on the right path. It is the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Always be worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost. I firmly believe that a special spirit has rested upon this school from its very beginning. You have heard many times what Brigham Young told Colgay Mazur as he commenced his work at Brigham Young Academy. Remember that you ought not to teach even the alphabet or the multiplication tables without the Spirit of God. You heard this wonderful and straightforward counsel by a prophet of God, by Brigham Young, and it still applies to everything you do today and in the future. Keep this special BYU spirit in your lives. Do nothing without the Spirit of God. The presence of the Spirit of God will bring focus, certainty, and confidence into your life. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. The gift and the power of the Holy Ghost will show unto you all things what you should do. What a wonderful promise for you as you move forward into your future. You are a marvelous generation. You are blessed beyond measure. The world needs you and your goodness. Great opportunities await you. I love you. I admire you. Do not fear. God is with you. Have faith. Use your time wisely. Continue to learn. And always live worthy to have the Spirit with you. I leave you my blessing and my love in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.